Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We are awaiting Andy Reid's press conference exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan. As soon as he steps up to the podium, we will head out there. You'll hear from Andy. Number one on What's Trending, though, centers around the AFC conversation at this point in time. Kansas City, of course, clinching a playoff spot for a 10th consecutive season. Now 11-1. They were the first team to actually clinch a playoff spot. Then last night, Buffalo already clinched the AFC East. It's at five games to go. Buffalo has already clinched the AFC East. They're 10-2. We all know they have the tiebreaker over Kansas City. The Chiefs would need to finish with a better record in order to assure that first round bye and a home playoff game. The Bills' upcoming games, you got to hope they probably drop one of these, right? That's your hope if you're a Chiefs fan, if you're thinking that Kansas City is not going to win out. Buffalo gets the Rams coming up. They also have the Lions. That's the one where it's like you got to find a way to get the Lions to beat the Bills, and that certainly is going to be a great game. As for Kansas City, next up for them, the Chargers. Sunday night football followed by games against the Browns, Texans, Steelers, and the Broncos to end the regular season. Next up on What's Trending, some news in the NFL injury-wise. Last night on Sunday Night Football, in which the Bills demolished the 49ers, the big news out of that one is that Christian McCaffrey could miss the rest of the season with a PCL injury. He was off to a good start last night. I think he had over 50 yards rushing, looked like actually his old self for a little while, even in the snow, and then he went down on his own on one play. Everybody thought it was the Achilles injury again. It turns out they're calling it for now a PCL injury that's going to keep him out for the rest of the season. And in the offseason, the conversation will just be like, hey, is he done? I mean, the guy had 1,500 yards from scrimmage last year, but at some point, multiple injuries now in the 2024 season. I think the 49ers as a team are, I don't want to say full reset, but man, their window might have closed at least for a little bit here. Kyle Shanahan is a great coach, but Brock Purdy is going to start making $60 million a year. Trey Williams isn't getting any younger. Neither is Kittle. And McCaffrey.
They're paying a lot of guys.
Yeah. Brandon Ayuk got paid this year. He was hurt all year, so he's coming back from a serious injury. Things are kind of a mess there for the 49ers. Next up on What's Trending, we get to the AFC, with the Jets. Another disappointing team in 2024. Jets interim head coach saying today that Aaron Rodgers is, quote, our quarterback after there was some speculation even by himself at times about what would they do the rest of the year at quarterback. So it looks like Aaron Rodgers will start
the remainder of the season. He said
he gives
them the best chance to win.
Yeah.
Take that for
So I was watching the Jets game yesterday. We'll have our NFL insider Vinny on tomorrow, hopefully, Vinny Pasquantino. But their announcer in the Jets game, I think it might have been Adam Amin. And there was one point where they were driving to try to, you know, tie the game or win the game late. And he's like, coming up, the drive that could save the Jets season potentially. I'm like, what? They were already a three.
You know how much they would have to have to go
right?
That was
like, that was a month ago they had a chance to do that. Just save their season.
They would need nothing short of a miracle to make the playoffs.
Well, even if they would have won yesterday, like there's no saving their season. It's been over for weeks. For weeks and weeks and weeks. Next up on What's Trending, some Royals news today. They announced their 2024 team award.
Oh.
Seth Lugo, pitcher of the year. Me. Bobby Wood Jr., player of the year. And Cole Reagans.
Not
winning
a surprise.
Special achievement. Yeah, no surprise. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. We are awaiting Andy Reid's press conference. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you here on 96.5 The Fan. The only other thing I didn't put in what's trending was the reaction to Trevor Lawrence's concussion. So if you're watching Red Zone, you probably saw the quick cut into it, but Al Shahir, who's been in the league for a while, is a linebacker for the Texans. He's been with the 49ers before, and there's some history of some questionable hits from him and altercations, if you will. And he had a hit on Trevor Lawrence that resulted in Trevor Lawrence needing to be carted off the field. Luckily, he was sitting in the front seat of the cart. He wasn't on the backboard or anything, but he clearly was concussed. Very serious hit. It's one of those plays where the quarterback, you know, is sliding down and it makes him vulnerable. And there's debate today on whether or not, you know, that's actually causing quarterbacks to be less protected by sliding versus just going in because, you know, you're not giving the defender much time. This did not seem like a play in which Trevor Lawrence waited too late to slide and you didn't leave the defender a choice, because I do think that happens where at some point the quarterback slides so late, you're like, hey, what is the defender supposed to do? Like, you're asking him to make an impossible decision. He's running full speed. It's a violent game. How's he supposed to dodge you? That's not what I thought this was. This seemed a little more closer to the dirty hit category. Obviously, Shahir disagrees, and everybody's been debating that today. But he did apologize for the hit that left Lawrence with a concussion. And if you're the Jags, don't, I mean, you're a 2-win football team. Your head coach may or may not be getting fired at the end of the year. Lawrence just came back from a shoulder injury. That was his first game back. Why even play Trevor Lawrence the rest of the way? Like, he's already going to miss
a little bit this year, like you said, with the shoulder, and I think he was out earlier in the year for something else.
Yeah. He's going to miss, you would think, next week, right? Like,
oh yeah, I don't think he should
play
tough. Again.
Yeah. And I get it. Text line 913-586-7965, and always appreciate the interaction. Someone says watch it at full speed. It's not a slow motion thing to watch. Totally with you. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think a lot of times the slow motion video causes things to look way worse. I mean, I would use that as an example in the KU basketball game last week with Hunter Dickinson when he got ejected from the game. It should have been a flagrant one. I don't think it's a flagrant two. That's a whole nother topic. I'm sure people will love that.
Yeah.
My point being, into the slow motion point, I think things look way worse in slow motion than they will when they look live. And there's definitely truth to that. I don't think, though, that the hit on Trevor Lawrence was the circumstance where the defender didn't have enough time to adjust. That's all I'm saying. I think there are plenty of circumstances where you're leaving the defender no choice. I don't think that's what that was, though, in my opinion, with Trevor Lawrence. And I thought it was a questionable, at best, hit that got him ejected from the game.
Yeah, and again, it wasn't even... the hit wasn't even to Trevor Lawrence's like head, even. It was the whiplash that he had where his head just banged against the turf. I'm watching it actually right here. I'm watching it in real time, actually. They're showing it over here on the TV.
All right.
So Al Shahir, he goes through Trevor Lawrence. Like, it's not like he could easily have just put his hands down and pushed on his chest or whatever. He hit him.
Yeah, and then Trevor Lawrence had kind of that fencing reaction.
Yeah,
it wasn't
did.
The same as the fingers, you know, we've all seen, unfortunately, with Tua, but his right arm still kind of had a reaction to the hit.
Yeah.
Scary stuff for Trevor Lawrence, who I think sent out a tweet last night or whatever, saying, you know, he's fine in terms of, you know, fine by this standard, right? There's obviously repercussions.
I don't think there's any way he plays the rest of the season. I don't think you can, especially for, and again, not that they need to, obviously his health is more important than what the team should do for themselves, but there's no point in him playing because they're 2-10. He's been beaten up all year long. I don't think it's anything that you should just...
I can see them starting Mac Jones the rest of the way. We'll see. It's so weird that how we talk about it, though, because in every player's circumstance is different. Like, when Tua had his, what was it now? What are we up to now? Like 4, 5, whatever it is, concussions, if not more, that we know of. And we all saw the fencing reaction. They put him on IR for 4 weeks. And there's not a rule in the NFL that says you get a concussion, you're out for X amount of time. Every circumstance is different. The concussion history for every player is different as well. So I don't know. Like, you know, could they just put Trevor Lawrence on IR and say, fine, sure. But there's also plenty of players that are out for a week for a concussion and they come back and they're, you know, I air quotes fine, because we all know there's long impact, everlasting impact, I should say, to having concussions either way.
I will say this, in credit to, I think that obviously there was a bit of a scuffle afterwards. Actually, it was more than that. So much so that even as Al Shahir was leaving the game, he was still going at it with guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, credit to, I think if there's any doubt about like who the leader is in the locker room and all that stuff, is Trevor Lawrence a good leader? Like, to have players like get your back like that. Like, I know that obviously it's a bang bang play. It's tough, scary for you to, you know, have that reaction to a play like that. I mean, those guys have his back
You know? I had no problem with the Jags
in
players.
In terms of the reaction,
One of the Jags players got ejected because...
Was it Evan Engram? Because I know Evan Engram went at Al-Shaheer right afterwards.
Yeah, and that's so what you... I mean, that's expected. Like, that's expected. No, I don't think anybody has this. It'd be a bigger problem if nobody stood up for your quarterback. Sure. That'd be way more telling. But that was definitely another hit from the weekend that had people talking in particular. While we're waiting for Andy Reid, we can pivot a little bit here. We can talk about what I think at this point in time is kind of obvious in the NFL, which is team after team continues to use the wrong, I guess, judgment when they're hiring coaches. I'm bringing this up because we all know Matt Eberflus was fired by the Bears. And he left them with no choice after one of the worst 30-second sequences I've ever seen. And that's not even like being hyperbolic. Sometimes we react quickly in the moment. Like, no, I've never seen a coach in a team botch in the NFL at that level, botch a 30-second sequence when they had a really good second half. Caleb Williams played great in the second half. And they were in field goal range. Caleb Williams takes a bad sack. That was the first mistake. But they could have called one timeout against the Lions still and been out of timeouts, but stopped the clock with 30-plus seconds. Instead, they don't call a timeout. And say, okay, fine, you're not going to call a timeout. That's okay, actually. You can live with that. Get to the line of scrimmage. And then tick, 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 and they're making adjustments. He's changing the play, he admits, after. And they have a timeout in their back pocket. The clock's down to 15 seconds. It's down to 10 seconds. You're like, what the hell are you doing? Mainly the sideline, like, Eberflus, call a damn timeout.
Quarterback, yeah.
But then there's also like, hey, I'll give Caleb slight pass because he's a rookie, but like he also should know he has a timeout. He clearly did not have great awareness on that play either. That was as bad as it gets. They should have fired Eberflus like on the plane ride home. They didn't. They even botched the timing of the firing. That's how you know the Bears are an inept organization. The Bears had Matt Eberflus go out for a press conference 2 hours earlier. They fire him 2 hours after that press conference.
I think they knew what they were doing
the next day. Like he was like, yeah, I'm preparing to coach for the 49ers. And they fired him. You have to. There's no way anybody in that locker room, if there was anybody left, was believing in their head coach after that scenario was botched.
I am convinced that they let him go out there on purpose and just embarrass himself.
I don't know, man.
Doing the presser.
Yeah, I mean, that is unbelievable. And someone says, you have a coach that has a clock problem. Okay, wait, let's not compare the... Matt Eberflus. Again, Matt Eberflus is an all-time botching of the clock there. Also, all-time botching of multiple circumstances for the last 3 weeks. Like, I know you're not really trying to make a comparison text line. I'll be honest. Like, I like the interaction, but it's an idiotic text if you're trying to make any comparison on this planet that we live on between Andy Reid and Matt Eberflus. Give me a break. But as far as Matt Eberflus, he was going to get fired at the end of the season anyway, but he made it to where he lost his job before the season ended. And time again, you see quotes coming out. Ryan Poles, who was with the Chiefs organization, who's now the GM in Chicago, coming out and saying he told DJ Moore, their wide receiver, we're going to hire a great leader of men and all this kind of stuff. It's that comment is always weird to me. Isn't that what you thought Matt Eberflus was? Like, the evaluation is part of the problem. You don't want to simply just hire the great offensive coordinator and be good to go. You got to find out like what the mix and balance is. Like, I think Ben Johnson would be an interesting candidate in Chicago. You have a young quarterback. Does Ben Johnson want to be a head coach? We'll find out. He turned down an opportunity last year. Maybe he wants the right opportunity. Is he a fan of Caleb Williams? We'll see. But like, always when I hear like, we just want to hire a great leader of men. Yeah, that's part of the equation. Just like I wouldn't hire someone that's only a great offensive coordinator.
Yeah, you would hope that they're a great leader. Someone from the 816, the guy who talked about Andy as a Bengals fan. Maybe it's Drew. It was not me. Yeah. I promise I did not text in. But I think they have to go offensive minded because they've done the defensive thing. Somebody was like, I saw Vrabel should be the head coach. The Bears should not go after Mike Vrabel. That'd be the wrong decision.
I think Vrabel will get a job. Chicago doesn't make sense.
I think he will too. Maybe it's the Bengals. I'd like that. But, Ben Johnson would make the most sense, but I mean, who else offensive mind wise? Is there anybody else that we can think of? The Lions OC is, I forget their name.
Say it again. Sorry.
Who's the Lions OC? I mean, is he up?
Well, that's Ben Johnson.
Oh, I'm sorry. Duh.
That's who I brought.
I don't know why.
Who else are you thinking of?
I was thinking of what
Ben Johnson
what other
will
offensive
be a
coordinator.
Bobby Slowick in Houston. Although I think the shine maybe is worn off a little bit with the struggles they've had on offense this year, but they just don't have an offensive line. Bobby Slowick's name is being discussed. I saw, Pete Schrager yesterday on NFL Network was reporting that Freeman at Notre Dame Now, that to me smells like an agent trying to get his head coach a new contract in Notre Dame. But that was one that was brought up from Schrager yesterday. And by the way, we're awaiting Andy Reid's press conference. My guess is it's going to be like it has been the last couple weeks, and this will get pushed back to 12:30 or something. But that's why we're talking about Eberflus too.
I don't think Freeman doesn't. Freeman's a great leader, but in terms of like, I don't. That would be bold, I think, to go that direction for that. I don't know if it would be, I think it would make more, if you were to get it at college, who'd you get in the college game now? That would make sense. I don't know if there's anybody in the college game that, other than, I don't know.
That's just usually, unless it's Harbaugh, that it doesn't usually work, man.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense for anybody that's in college right now. That would, to our mind, would be like, oh yeah, this guy's going to be a good NFL coach.
Cliff Kingsbury is the other name that's been out there. He's done a great job with Jaden Daniels there in D.C.
Has history with Caleb Williams.
Has history. He reportedly was interviewed in Chicago for an OC job this past year with the same front office that will be interviewing for a new head coach. Do you just do that? It's weird. Basically, the decision is, do you think Cliff is just one of those guys that's a great coordinator and not a good head coach? Because there's plenty of individuals out there that are awesome coordinators and not great head coaches. I think Cliff will get another chance to be a head coach in the NFL. Is that the opportunity? I don't know.
If you're the Bears, if you were to say Cliff Kingsbury is going to be a head coach, it makes the most sense to go to Chicago, I think, for the reason of the history with Caleb Williams. They know each other. They got the rapport. It makes sense to help your quarterback out a little bit by having that previous connection.
It's weird. I mean, I guess if you're Cliff, you know, you obviously believe in Caleb because he was your quarterback in college, but just do you leave Jaden Daniels, who you might have a lot of success there?
Yeah.
But it's that balance. It was the same thing when we talked with Eric Bieniemy for many, many years, when people would be like, well, maybe he doesn't want to be a head coach. And that was BS. Of course he wanted to be a head coach. Cliff Kingsbury is young enough where I guarantee you he wants to be a head coach again at some point in the NFL.
Yeah,
there's the financial benefit. There's the ego. Let's be real. Like everybody has an ego. Like there's the ego aspect. Cliff Kingsbury wants to prove that he can be a head coach in the league. I think he gets one more crack at it. Is Chicago his best chance, or can he stay in DC for another year or so and hope that there's a better opportunity? I don't know if there's a better opportunity though. You have Caleb, you have DJ Moore, you have Roma Dunze, who's been disappointing in his rookie year, but still, I think he's a talent. And you have a pretty good defense. Like that's a team that I think you can win right away. They should be winning. But we all saw that Matt Eberflus thing coming a mile away in the offseason. Everybody thought it was pretty surprising they held on to him. But that on Thanksgiving, and I don't know if you know, everybody was, you know, that game looked like it was going to be a blowout for a while, and then they made it interesting. But even listen to like Nance and Romo and how they were calling the end of that one. I think we have the audio of that. There's the end of the Bears-Lions game.
You better hurry.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is disaster in the making here. You're going to have to do something when it comes down to this play. Incomplete, and the game is over. Completely botched at the end by the Bears.
I can't believe they didn't take a timeout. Just assume.
I think like weren't you guys like you were sitting around with your family maybe like how stunned were you? Just like I mean I started laughing out loud just because like you got to be kidding me.
If you have Jim Nance on paper in live time, not recorded, like he's saying that you botched something, as the respectable play-by-play man that he is, that's when you know you messed up. If Jim Nance is saying you botched a play in an entire sequence, that was really bad.
Yeah, that was that was as bad as it gets in the NFL for a coaching 30-second final minute type of handling. You know, like we've seen some coaches. I mean, Dak Prescott a couple years ago had the right where he thought he had time to spike it, remember, and they didn't get to the line of scrimmage. So I'm acting like stuff has not happened. But that they didn't have any timeouts. You had the timeout. Like you left the timeout.
Yeah, that was all on Dak Prescott.
Everybody knew he was getting fired. Everybody knew he was getting
fired. He knew he was getting fired. After the game was over, he wouldn't even take his headset off.
Yeah, I mean, that was
it. Just stood there.
That was rock bottom. Everybody thought the Hail Mary play a couple weeks ago was rock bottom in Chicago with the player, Stevenson or whatever his name was.
Yeah,
yapping with the fans. They've lost three or four games in the last 2 weeks because they've played short weeks. It's been like 14-day span, 17-day span. They've had all these, and they've been losing barely, but it's been because of poor coaching decisions. And that one's squarely on the coaching
staff. Have we seen a season with more? I feel like there's been more. And I know that everything's under a microscope now, but we've seen more coach management, clock management, game management problems on a regular basis. It's like every single week. There's something in some game where the clock is managed very poorly. The game is managed poorly.
You find out eventually. Pick whoever you think the coaches in the league are. Obviously, Eberflus is one. Maybe you think Antonio Pierce is the other. There's some coaches that will have, like, you know, flashes of success or whatever, but you're like, is it fool's gold? Is it fake? Is it phony? Mm-hmm. Kind of pretender. Eventually, you're going to be, there's no hiding in the NFL. You're going to be under, you know, you're going to be unveiled to the world of if you're incompetent at your job. And in certain spots, in management or whatever. And Matt Eberflus time and time again showed that. I know everybody likes Antonio Pierce, and this is the whole interim coach thing. It's why it's dangerous to hire an interim head coach, because you listen to Devontae Adams and Max Crosby to hire your head coach, and that is blown up in their face. Antonio Pierce, I think, has shown time and time again this year that when it comes to managing the game, I'm not saying motivate, not saying you can't be a great position coach, or all that, in terms of actually handling certain situations, he's shown that he's kind of fraudulent. Those are two names. There's some other coach out there you can probably think of as well, where eventually they will be unmasked. Like you can't hide forever in the NFL. Eventually, we're going to find out who knows what the hell they're doing as a head coach. And I'm not even just talking wins and losses. Ultimately, that's an easy thing to grade them on. I'm saying, like, just the management in game. Eventually, you're going to find out who just sucks at doing it. You can't cover that up very long. And Eberflus didn't do it long, and neither did Antonio Pierce.
Somebody said, if the Bears don't come back in the second half of that game, Eberflus probably still has his job. I don't know.
Has his job till the end of the year. Remember, the Bears organization had never fired, until now, had never fired a head coach in season.
In their team's history?
I believe under the McCaskey family. My understanding was, yeah, that was the first time they had fired in season.
Well, they've even got players in the locker room. You have reportedly calling out Eberflus, and it's going... It's getting crazy, obviously. And DJ Moore is on podcasts and stuff saying, you know, be suggesting it's play call. It's a whole freaking mess. Somebody said Lincoln Riley is leaving USC. That's why everyone's transferring. Listen, Lincoln Riley went 7-5 in the Big Ten. He's not coaching in the NFL. First season in the Big Ten and didn't have Caleb Williams as the quarterback, went 7-5. He's not coaching in the NFL. He might not even be coaching at USC for very much longer because he's underachieving.
Yeah, that hasn't turned out as well as everybody thought. All right, coming up in 10 minutes, I believe we'll probably hear Andy Reid. I feel like these press conferences now have been getting pushed, but we should just start planning for 12:30, Drew, I think.
I thought that as well.
But going forward, we should just start planning. They've been noon all year, and then recently they've been moving it back to 12:30 or so. So we're probably expected to hear from Andy Reid. I also want to talk about the two things that have to change before Sunday Night Football. That's next. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you. We're still awaiting Andy Reid's press conference. At this point, yeah, just let me know when he's at the podium. I'm gonna stop even referencing. I'm gonna assume it's not happening, although I'm sure it will right when we get into something. That's usually how this goes. But Andy Reid usually exclusively is on at noon on Mondays. Sometimes they have meetings. Sometimes it goes a little bit later. Maybe they're meeting about the two things that I think they need to change, Drew, before Sunday Night Football.
Hey, did you guys watch the Chiefs Hallmark movie last night?
Andy Reid was at the premiere. We'll talk more about it in the 1 o'clock hour. The premiere was Saturday night. It was a great time. If you're a Chiefs fan, if you love Kansas City, I think you'll like the movie. And yes, I was in the movie for like a second and a half. You can briefly see my car, and you can see me walking down the sidewalk in Independence.
I'm telling you, trade-in value is going up a little bit.
Somebody asked if I made an IMDb page. No, and I'll admit, I looked to see how the heck that even works. Did you know, unless the movie themselves list you as like a cast member, that, because you can claim like an existing listing. If you want to make a listing, you know they charge you $15 a month. I'm sorry, I'm not paying $15 a month for an IMDb page. Now, future dating profiles, future Twitter or current Twitter account will be updated to reflect actor in Hallmark movie or actor. Absolutely. Definitely the dating profile. That seems like a great way to start an icebreaker, start the conversation. But no, I'm not getting an IMDb page. Not unless they want to pay for it. I'm not paying $15 a month just to have that. That seems like a crazy ego thing to pay $15 a month for. Doesn't it?
Oh, 100%. If you have one movie, and let's say you never do another movie again, Gold. I hope you do. But let's say you never do another one again.
Be honest. Do you think I'll ever be an extra or something in a movie again?
To be honest, probably not.
I think that's a fair answer,
but,
Drew.
But I hope you do. But let's say that you don't. You do not want to be the person who, oh yeah, for the last 5 years I've been paying for my own IMDb page.
Yeah, not going to do that. I'll do the Twitter account. I'll on the dating profiles, I'll make sure it's evident that I was in a movie. But I don't need to pay for an IMDb page.
It's a waste of $15.
Now, if the folks behind the movie want to add it automatically into their cast listing, then I think they should have.
For everybody who showed up and actually took the time during the summertime to sweat their ass off and parkas and everything else that you guys had on, pea coats, you guys all deserve to have your names listed as...
Someone on the text line says, you didn't have a speaking part, so you were an extra. Obviously, that's what we've been talking
about. I'll tell you, if you had a speaking part, then yes, put it on... The IMDb page should be created, and who knows?
That's why. The joke is the IMDb
like whoever page. Was Santa Claus, I don't know if that person's an actor, if they just showed up and happened to get a spot in there or whatever, they got a lot of screen time.
Did get a lot of screen time, yeah. No, the mayor had a cameo. Andy did. Trey Smith had a long speaking part, actually, up in the penthouse suite during one of the scenes. But yeah, we'll talk more about this in the 1 o'clock hour. It's on Peacock now, and I believe it'll be on Hallmark Channel throughout the next, I don't know, month leading up to it. So we shall see moving forward. While we're waiting, Andy Reid, I want to get to the two things that I think that have to happen before Sunday Night Football to allow this team to, you know, get things fixed by the time they get to the postseason. And these are the things that still are giving me hope that they get it fixed. And that's two decisions that I believe will happen this week. And I would love to know why they shouldn't. If you think they shouldn't happen, you can let me know on the text line. But number one, it's simple, right? We already saw it. The in-game break glass in case of emergency decision, which was pulling Wanya Morris. He cannot play another snap at left tackle for the 2024 Kansas City Chiefs. He just cannot. DJ Humphries has got to be fast-tracked to start on Sunday. And I don't believe they would have signed him if they didn't think that the ACL was going to be fully healed and he'd be capable of playing. The question is getting him up to speed in the playbook. And I don't know, like, holiday week and he had a game on Friday. I mean, both Humphries and the Chiefs all weekend, I would have been making sure, doing everything possible to get him up to speed, whatever that looks like, for Sunday night's game against the Chargers. It has to happen. You already, as a coaching staff, an organization, made the decision in-game, understandably so, after Patrick Mahomes was clearly frustrated with Wanya Morris, to break the glass. And that was move Joe Tooney to left tackle and bring in Mike Caliendo to be the left guard. That is a in-game, either injury or terrible performance type of switch. That, to me, is not a season-long fix, and I don't believe those in the organization believe it is that either. That's why they brought in DJ Humphries. So DJ Humphries, to me, Sunday night is the perfect time. You have a little extra time to get ready because you played on Friday. It's a division game. Sunday night football, you're going to be going up against a very good defense coached by Harbaugh. That has to be the number one change going into Sunday, and we'll hopefully hear from Andy to see if that's something they're actually going to do or not. And as I admitted earlier, I think we all are putting a ton of stock into Humphries, who's coming back from a key injury. Like, we're all just hoping he's just going to jump right in and be great. The jury is definitely out on that. But let's see what that looks like. They have no other choice, and there's no reason why. And they obviously didn't pay him the kind of money they're paying him for half a season to just sit on the bench. And I think it was very evident. And now the performance from Wanya, whether he's hurt or not, I don't know. He hasn't been on the injury report, but that doesn't always mean that the guy's not dealing with injuries. And we all know at one point he had an injury. So Wanya Morris, to me, should not be playing another snap at left tackle in 2024. The other thing is Joshua Williams. This is another switch that they made in-game. These are both in-game switches that should carry over to Sunday. Joshua Williams is their best shot at better overall number two cornerback play. When Nazi Johnson was out there getting torched by Jacoby Myers and Aiden O'Connell, in the first half, 4 catches for 86 yards for Jacoby Myers. Jacoby finished with like 6 for 90-something, 95 maybe, after that. And that's when Joshua Williams did a much better job. Yes, there were bad throws from Aiden O'Connell as well, but the fact is, along with other tweaks from Spags, I'm sure, Josh Williams did a much better job. Now, Trey Tucker still got him deep. That wasn't on Joshua Williams. That was, I believe, Justin Reed in coverage. And this team has a clear problem in the secondary. But if you're trying to improve, and how do you, you know, map out this team getting right come the playoffs? It's one thing to just say, hey, they'll figure it out in the playoffs, but how do they figure it out? I think these are two of the biggest things. We all know the tackle and secondary are two of the biggest problems with this football team. I think they have a potential solution for both. We'll find out how much of a solution it is very, very soon. And over the next couple of weeks, I just think Sunday should be the game where we actually start to see it for the first time. Joshua Williams should be the number two corner for this team. Nazi Johnson should have a much less of a role on this team. And DJ Humphries, let's see why you brought him in. Let's see what happens. Normally, we always joke about saying, hey, it can't get any worse. And we're like, oh, no, it can always be worse. I don't think it can at left tackle. It's rock bottom at left tackle. So let's see DJ Humphries get that opportunity on Sunday. This seems like the perfect opportunity to do that.
How many, and we know that DJ Humphries, when he played, was like top tier left tackle. He was in
at his best, he was one of the better left tackles in football. 10-year vet. Can he get back to that? I will find out. Like, that's, I don't know. But he didn't even have to be that at this point. Honestly, like, we know what Donovan Smith was last year. Can you be above that? Can you be that level or better? I think he's
serviceable.
I think he can be better though, because otherwise they would have just brought Donovan Smith back. They gave the money that they gave to DJ Humphries. They clearly think either he's just better, or that Donovan Smith maybe just wasn't in the kind of shape that they liked. I think they believe DJ Humphries is a better option. They didn't just sign him for the heck of it. He's 30 years old. Yeah, he's coming off a serious injury. I loved his comments last week. I don't know if you guys played it when I was gone. I loved his comments last week talking about being in Kansas City, and he told the story of his son, who said basically, like, when he became, you know, available coming back from injury, like, yeah, why wouldn't you, like, you should sign up. You should play with Patrick Mahomes so you can win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, get behind it. What do you think the biggest issue is? So somebody from the line with Reese says the left tackle is the biggest issue. I think that'd be the obvious one, but
yeah, we have
the way that corner's been cooked like this. And I know amidst the bad left tackle stuff, the offense has still been pretty, like you said, Patrick Mahomes, I know he threw the ball 46 times, but he's been pretty good. Does that make you think that the cornerback spot is actually the biggest issue, or could obviously left tackle? I think if that's a problem, you open up the potential for Patrick Mahomes to get hit hard, hit enough where it's a big problem.
So we're going to have a topic on this tomorrow. I think actually we can talk about it now too. That's fine. We basically, for me, it's dependent on how confident you are in DJ Humphries. Cause I think I'm confident that he's going to give them at least better play at left tackle. So for me, secondary actually has become the bigger problem for this football team. Left tackle is preventing them from doing a lot on offense. And I think you're going to see even better play out of the offense once they get maybe competent play at left tackle. The defense, the secondary, I'm less confident. Like, even if Josh Williams should be starting, and I think he should as a number two corner, I'm less confident that actually is going to see as big of an improvement as what a left tackle fix would. So I guess, to answer your question, left tackle, I guess, is a bigger problem. I just think they have the solution, maybe. I don't think they really have the solution in the secondary deep down to make as big of an impact. The defensive part that's going to help the secondary is what I brought up during the Chiefs Red Eighth Hour, which is Charles Omenihu getting pressure on the quarterback, allowing Chris Jones and Karloftis to do what they did on Friday's game against the Raiders and build up from the 50% of snaps that he got.
Yeah, that was some of what we talked about last week in terms of, like, as I remember last year on our show, we were talking about what's the best aspect of the defense? Like, is the secondary helping the defensive line get those sacks, or is the defensive line helping the secondary out?
This year has been neither, if we're being honest,
correct,
right?
Correct, which is where I think where the L'Jarius Sneed hole and the Willie Gay hole, even to a certain extent, regarding the tight ends and the coverage for tight ends, has really impacted the ability for the guys to get home when they're just rushing four. And then obviously with no L'Jarius Sneed, you're not locking down another guy, so you're getting exposed in one certain area, which is where Najee Johnson's been. So yeah, it's interesting how those things go hand in hand. Yeah, if how much different they are compared to last year.
In terms of which can help the other, now their best chance is that the pass rush is going to help the secondary perform better. Like, if you're going with the optimistic view, and we're talking about why can they look better in the playoffs, it involves Charles Omenihu, George Karloftis, and Chris Jones, obviously getting back to being the type of defensive line, I should say, that they were last year. I thought, as I said, we saw glimpses of it against the Raiders. It was, to me, one of their best defensive line performances of the season. And that was with 50% of snaps for Charles Omenihu. Chris Jones didn't just have two sacks by coincidence in that game. Like, he's been playing great. The numbers haven't been there, but it's in large part because you saw Charles Omenihu become a factor And I know Aminihue was asked about it in the locker room. I think it was from Nate Taylor when we were down there. And he was like, hey, do you think that you're helping? And he's like, you'll have to ask those guys. He was trying to be humble about it. But I think it's I can answer for Charles Aminihue. Yes, Charles Aminihue being on the field makes Chris Jones and Carl Loftus better. Absolutely makes the entire defensive front better. And that is what's going to have to help the secondary, because while Josh Williams, his floor is higher than Nazi Johnson, in my opinion, that's why we saw better play. I don't know long term who they actually believe it could be the better corner or whatever. But immediately stepping in right now in 2024, yeah, I think Joshua Williams helps his team more than Nazi Johnson.
Plus, he's got like the, in terms of the comparison to, I don't know, like the measurables for Nazi Johnson like that, but Joshua Williams, big, long, lanky, more sort of body type.
I thought during training camp, it was kind of his job to try to win. And they had a lot of injuries and nobody grabbed the job. And then Jalen Watson was great for this team the first, what was it? I can't remember when he got hurt, 6 weeks, whatever it was of the season. And that loss is one thing that was not talked about enough when it first happened. I remember we had a conversation on the show, Cody and I, back and forth, and I think we disagreed on it. It was like, hey, can they cover that up? And is that an area they need to go get? Jalen Watson's absence has been way more of a problem than people have let on, and it's become more and more evident each and every week with the issues that they're having with the secondary at this point in time.
It was really interesting how, like, before the season started, the conversation was, is it a good thing that they haven't been able to find a guy at number two corner, or is it a bad thing?
It wasn't a problem when Watson was healthy. Right,
exactly. they get Jalen Watson, you think everything's great, and then all of a sudden it's not, and you're really, scrambling for that spot to be like, okay, we need somebody to step up, and they haven't quite had that individual yet to... left tackle, though, I think corner's the bigger issue, too, because... And like you said, we'll get more into it tomorrow, because left tackle, you just need it to be serviceable. Like, you guys had Nate Taylor on a couple weeks ago, and Nate was like, you just need Wanya to be serviceable. He hasn't been, which is why they made the move, but you just need a serviceable left tackle. Like, can you do any better? Because it can't get much worse. Like, any better would be good for this offense, and it's going to help when you get Hollywood Brown back as well. But, of course, you need to be able to throw the ball and stay upright in order to get the ball to guys like Hollywood Brown when he is available to come back.
Don't forget, this football season, the best place to watch the game is at Johnny's Tavern. Now through December 15th at any Johnny's Tavern, scan the QR code to enter for a chance to win a tailgate prize pack and the grand prize of a hosted watch party with a $300 bar tab for you and your friends. Each location will have a winner, so don't miss out. Grab your friends, grab a Yingling, and get in on the action only at Johnny's Tavern. In partnership with 96.5 The Fan, your home for football fun, and Yingling. Must be 21 or older to enter. Let's go ahead and get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
You're taking over this one today.
Yeah, for you, Gold, for the text line, 913-586-7965. This has come up before, I think, in regards to you, Gold, when we've talked about my apartment complex issues. Now, this is not necessarily...
You having issues again? Well, I thought you moved into a new place.
You know, the place is great. It's wonderful. This isn't necessarily a problem. But it's hard to navigate. I want your advice for this. So, my wife and I were getting ready for bed last night. It's like 10:30 or so.
Right.
We're in the living room at the time, and all of a sudden we hear like a noise. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And some people had moved in above us, heavy footed, can't do anything about that.
Yeah. That's apartment living.
Yes. But I was like, what the heck is this noise? Go in to the bedroom, and you can hear the bed. And I was like, okay.
Wait, do that. What was that?
I don't know how to think.
Like something's moving back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I assume, okay, it's the bed frame.
Oh.
A loose frame. So there might be a certain activity going on in there. I'm like, all right, this is really annoying. Like, I don't want, like, we're trying to get ready. Like, we're basically about to go to bed. So all of a sudden you start hearing some noises.
Okay.
That along the lines of our text line. Has enjoyed.
So you think the people are having fun? You think the people are having sex above you?
Yes,
and you were hearing.
It was the thing. Not only is the bed making noises, but you're starting to hear, in terms of the explicit version of a segment that we do, we're starting to hear those noises.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right, this has gone too far. Is there anything that you can do in this situation? I know you've said that you obviously have heard some noises before, Gold. Is there anything that I can do? Like, it's like 10:30 at night, like, or it's like 11 o'clock at night at this point.
There's nothing you can do.
There's nothing I can do.
There's
It's like, man, I'm just trying to go to bed.
There's
you know?
Nothing you can do. I'm surprised this is coming from above your apartment.
I've had, dead serious, above, before.
When I, like, years ago when I was living in, frankly, a crappier apartment in another city, the walls were even thinner. And so I would, you know, you'd be in your room and there'd be the wall over and, you know, next, you know, you could hear stuff coming from there. I've never had it where above, you can hear it from above. Like, the walking is one thing. I've never had where you can actually hear the sexual activity going on above my apartment. No, but what can you do? No, what are you going to go out there at 10:30, go knock on their front door? No, that you can't be doing that. Here's why you can't do it as well. Because if you can hear them, the people below you can hear you. So you got to keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, I think someone said there's only one solution. Start having sex and be louder than them.
Someone said, yeah, join in on the fun. Oh, boy.
No.
Yeah, you that or buy a house, man. Like, that's it. Like, I don't think you this is a apartment living problem.
I wish
unfortunately.
I could get a house, man.
An apartment living problem.
I you know, the amount of times in the last year regarding the other apartment as well, I've wished to myself, God, I want a house in more ways than I could ever imagine right now. I wish I had a house so badly.
A lot of maintenance with the house.
Yeah, but honestly, look, if something broke, I'd be willing to fix it rather than have to deal with some of the stuff previously.
Your text line is bring up one point. 913-586-7965. You were acting like 10:30 was too late. Like, you sounded upset that you were hearing them having sex at 10:30. I don't know if it's
correct.
Any better if it's at any time. Honestly, it's still awkward and weird. But, like, you at 10:30, what do you think, 3 in the afternoon? At 10:30? They're going to bed as well. 10:30 seems like a pretty understandable time for that have been going on.
I want to be honest, though.
I want you to repeat exactly what you were hearing.
I'm dead serious, man. Okay. And it was coming from above. It was not the apartment next to us. It was the apartment above. Someone said sound machine. Yes, I turned on the sound machine still, though. You can... This is the second time also that it's happened.
You can hear through the sound machine?
Oh, yeah.
How loud were they?
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying. Good for them. Good for them. Good for you if you're listening.
all I'm saying is, I'm not going to say anything. Look, hold on a second. If there's loud noises and you're not engaged in any of the, and you're not engaged in the activity.
It's awkward.
It's awkward. And you want to complain, like, quiet down a little bit, you know, like relax.
Do not be that person. You want to go complain?
I'm not going to do anything.
Come on.
You enjoy what you want to enjoy. Your night is ending in pleasure. Congratulations.
And you think you're quiet?
I'm not that loud. I know that I'm not that loud. Where I'm hearing the man and the woman also make noise. It's not just one person making noises. They're both making noises. I don't want...
This happens... Anybody listening has ever had an apartment, we all know... We've all been there. They've all been there where the walls are too thin on your apartment and you can hear the person in the apartment over. And let's be honest, again, it goes both ways on that.
Someone said just knock on the ceiling with the broom handle. No, I'm not. It's so disrespectful to ruin that.
You just have to own this one. You just have to deal with this. Just deal with this. Does this happen very often? Are they doing this every night?
This happened. This is the second or third time this week that it's actually happened.
This week? Is it more this week? Did they just move in, or is it?
They've been moved in for probably 2 or 3 weeks now. Somebody's getting it in. Their night is ending with a lot of pleasure. Someone said, "Drew, my 16-year-old stepson can tell you, having a house does not help with the problem."
Well, there you go.
Very fair. Again, I don't have kids though, so it's not, you know. I don't know. I'm gonna be honest. If it's going,
what's your wife saying about this? By the way, that's what I know your opinion clearly. But what's your wife think of this?
Well, she
text line thinks you should use this to your advantage.
Oh, I think that I can use it to my advantage. Sure. Last night she wasn't the one that heard it as much as me, so I was like, "Hey, get like." She was like, "Don't worry about it." In a way, I guess is what she had said. Like, you can't do anything about it. She woke up in the middle of the night and said she could hear the bed as well through the sound machine. Like a few days ago, like at 4 a.m. And no, that just because I say I'm not that loud doesn't mean that I'm doing something wrong. You know,
there's one. I think one person on the text line on your side. This text says, "Don't be so passive. It's disrespectful to be loud and obnoxious neighbor." That's the one person defending you.
I just don't think this is.
It's not like they're dropping furniture over and over, and banging on the wall. if someone's having sex and they're in the apartment next to you, it's just one of those things that you just kind of have to deal with, or you move. Like, it's just, if it's that big of a problem for you, but you kind of just have to deal with it.
All right, I'm going to be honest. If you're making enough noise where the both of you are louder individually than the sound machine that I have that's right next to my damn
they're
head.
They're enjoying themselves, Drew.
I understand. It must be something exquisite. Like, this is the best you've ever had. Like,
well,
this
good
had
for them.
Congratulations on your pleasure.
Whenever you say that word, it's just, it's coming from you, I think. Like, yeah. I mean,
there's a greater chance that it does result in some pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever chance there was, those people had it last night, man. And it
pay
was
for
loud.
That pleasure? Yes, there's something about that word when
maybe
it comes from
maybe they paid for it last
you.
Night. They felt like they were getting their money's worth. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Someone says you should start leaving them hints.
Someone said I should give them a can of WD-40.
You should leave hints. Yeah, you should leave stuff outside their door. I just think, again, to sum it all up, I think you just have to own this one. Deal with it. You live in an apartment, man.
Yeah.
People are human beings. They're gonna have sex, man. You got to deal with it.
Yeah, I'm ready for a house. I'm not going to get earplugs. Let's be honest. I can find something to do. Like, I can put my headphones in or whatever.
You got someone on the text line offering to help you with your financing for your future home. Friends over at Arvest Bank. Someone texted in. Someone's offering to help you out, Drew, if it's that big of a problem. Why'd you buy a house? Because I got sick and tired of the neighbors. My apartment neighbors having sex.
I didn't even want a house. I had to get out of my situation. Yeah,
all right, here
that
briefly.
Sounds like a good business decision.
Here in just a second, we're expected to finally hear from Andy Reid. Of course, Andy Reid's press conferences are exclusively on 96.5 The Fan, sponsored by Arvest Bank, making banking easier for customers for more than 60 years. Arvest Bank, proud to serve Chiefs Kingdom.
Well, we were told that he's like very shortly, and that was like 2 minutes ago.
Okay.
Well, be ready, get on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Still nothing yet.
Someone says, great segment. Let's see if we can have it every single week. Well, we do random question. They don't always have that slant to them. But if you're new to the show, we always do random question at this time of the show.
This person brings up a valid question. Do you avoid Chick-fil-A because they say my pleasure?
No, but they don't always say that anymore. They haven't been following through.
That is true.
It's less awkward that Chick-fil-A is saying my pleasure than you saying my pleasure. Or they're saying my pleasure. You're saying it could result in pleasure. That was what was very weird and awkward about that when we were in Vegas. That, I think, was the difference.
Okay. Look, I just... It was awkward because of the way that I said it, I think, and the fact that I didn't want to say it, but I was like, you know what? Like, it's like in the middle of the sentence, I was like, you know what? Go ahead.
Andy Reid, right now, live on 96.5 The Fan.
Perfect. Take it away.
All right. I don't have any injuries necessarily for you. I meet with the doctors here later. But I think we came out fairly healthy of this game. And so I don't think there's going to be a whole lot to talk about even so. And, you know, with that, I'm going to leave it up to you guys. Go ahead and fire away.
We'll go first to Jesse Newell. Jesse.
Hey, Kelsey, I have a follow-up too. Hey, Andy, you said after the game the Raiders were bringing an extra guy to stop the run. But I just wondered, after watching, what was your overall evaluation of your guys' run game against the Raiders?
Yeah, we can do better in that area. And so I've got to make sure that I give the guys the right things to run against that defense. And then, you know, the guys have to do their job on top of that. So it's kind of a package deal there. But I didn't feel like I was necessarily putting him in the best position against that.
Great. And since the last time we talked, I think you made your movie debut. I just wondered what part of that experience you're going to remember most.
Yeah. I didn't have a real big part in it, thank goodness. Or the movie probably wouldn't have been as good as it was. So that's a good thing. So But I enjoyed the people with Hallmark. They sure do a nice job with things, and it's a local group here, so it's they're Kansas City grown, and I appreciate their support. I think we have a unique relationship between the two organizations, which is something. I mean, Hallmark is one of those we all grew up with. If you needed a Christmas card, you knew where to go. And you get a Hallmark, and you knew you're in good hands there. So, but anyways, that it was fun. It was fun for what I did there. I mean, they made it painless.
We'll go next to Adam Teicher. Adam.
Hey, Andy. Just curious what the plan will be for DJ Humphries this week, what his practice week is going to look like. And Kelsey, I'll have a second question as well.
Yeah, and we'll work him in and let's see what he can see how he feels. You know, that's the main thing. He hadn't played in a while, so I just want to make sure he's in good position. He did a nice job last week working in there, and we'll do a little bit more with him this week.
Okay. Obviously this season hasn't gone like you thought it would or like you hoped at left tackle. So why not? What's gone wrong there?
Yeah, listen, we've got young guys that we're working in there. And so, the growth, they're going against good players, and the good ones have gotten probably the better of us. But it's things that these guys will learn from, and they can bank for the future and get themselves better. And I think that'll help us down the road. That's what I would tell you.
We'll go next to Pete Sweeney. Pete.
And Kelsey, I'll have a quick follow-up if I can. Andy, you guys replaced Nazi Johnson with Joshua Williams mid-game. Defensive side of the ball, I know, but just how did you feel like he did coming in? I know it's been up and down for him, but just reflecting on his film.
Yeah, listen, I'm glad we have both of them. I think both of them can still work in there and do some things, and we haven't given up on Nazi or anything of that sort. I mean, he's coming off pretty major knee surgery, and so we've kind of kept an eye on him with that. And I think as we go forward, we can use both of them, I'm sure.
And then just in a follow-up to Adam, do you think it's a possibility for DJ to start this week, or is it just strictly you guys are going to see how the week goes?
Yeah, the last week was a short week, so we didn't have a whole lot of time to, for the fast part of the game practices. And so this week he'll have a, I'll have a better idea as we go, and he'll have a better idea. So how he feels, and then we just go from there. You know, we'll just see how it all works out.
We'll go next to Sam McDowell. Sam.
Hey, Pete just really asked my question, but just wanted to clarify, you haven't made a determination yet, Andy, about who will start at left tackle this week?
No, I don't think that's probably fair to DJ, right now, just him coming off this offseason. So I think we just play it by ear, Sam, as we go. And if he feels okay, then we give him an opportunity. If it's not where it needs to be, then you don't. So it's, we'll see how it goes.
We'll go next to Matt Derrick. Matt.
Coach, my first question was kind of in that vein too, but if DJ's not ready, would you be rolling with Joe at that spot for now?
Well, that's another one of the options that we've got. So we finished the game that way, and I'd rather have Joe playing in a guard because he's very good there, but Caliendo isn't bad either. So it's that's a good problem to have, but we've got some flexibility there as needed.
And Xavier had a pretty nice game. Had a good job of being able to get the ball to him in space. I know we talked about him kind of hitting that point like Rasheed last year, but could this game be a turning point for him just as far as some of the things that he's comfortable with doing and the positions you're putting him in?
Yeah, man. I mean, he's getting better. I think that's what we all can see. And it's not a secret. He's putting that out there for everybody to see. And my main concern is that he just keeps doing that. That's what you want to do, and keep working to better yourself. And let's just see where it all ends up at the end. But he's doing a nice job. He's got the trust of the quarterback. He's got the trust of the coaches. He's playing fast. Looks like he's gotten his legs back from training camp in the early part of season. So all of that's positive stuff. But you got to keep putting the product out there.
We have two more for you, Coach. We'll go first to Todd Lebo. Todd.
Hey, Coach, with someone, a young player like Wanya, who struggled during the game, when you went back and graded everything out, was some of the struggles that he physically couldn't do something, or was it the mental part got to him? Could you kind of divide that up on a certain scale? And which one of those things is easier to fix, I guess?
Yeah, sometimes things snowball on you, Todd. I mean, it's a little bit of everything get you. He started off pretty good, and then it kind of went from there. And that happens with young guys. Nobody wants that to happen that way, but sometimes it happens. And then you kind of get frozen in your own feet there and on what to do exactly. So, but listen, it's a great learning experience for him. I would expect him to do that. Whatever direction this thing goes, I would expect him to do that. And he's a good kid, and he works hard. So I tell you the same thing with Kingsley. Both of them have got some valuable experience this year. And, we'll continue to hope that they would learn from all that.
We'll go last to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Andy, I have a couple for you as well. The first is, given the highlight that we saw on Friday, was that a signification with Kelsey's lateral that he's earned the right for that play to actually be designed in the playbook? Has he earned that part of the his signature flip?
He's been doing it for a few years. So it's we do it in practice every day. You guys see that. So you know mm-hmm. that this isn't just something that we throw out there on game day. I mean, it's it's something we do. And so it's, everything's okay with that. It's just as long as you complete them.
And then secondly, it seems, Andy, that you guys are playing Jaden Hicks a little more over these last few weeks. Just what's the reasoning behind that? And how much do you think he might sort of progress between now and obviously you guys clinching a playoff spot?
Yeah, sure. No, he's a good player. And so him working in there, I think, is a positive. Again, he's a young guy that needs to keep progressing and challenging himself that way. I know the coaches have trust in him, and so we'll just see how things go moving forward. But he's earned that right to play more, and so he's got the confidence of Spags that way. And Dave.
Thank you for the time, Coach. We'll let you get back to it.
All right, so that was Andy Reid's press conference here on 96.5 The Fan, sponsored by Arvest Bank. We're proud to serve Chiefs Kingdom. We're late for a break. I want to come back, react to a few things, including I think Andy hinted something about left tackle heading into Sunday's game against the Chargers. I'll tell you what that is. And we have the audio fun bag from the weekend coming up next here on Cody and Gold.